Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Wednesday, June 6th. And do we have a great show for you today? Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by former Miami Dolphins wide receiver, OJ McDuffie. OJ talks about all things Miami Dolphins. He talks about the wide receivers, we talk about the quarterback spot, the draft, and yes, he gets into the saga this week that has been DeVante Parker versus Chris Chambers that has been taken out, that has sort of taken on a life of its own since the first part of the week. And let me start off talking about that, because since my last show, I haven't really talked about that, and I know a lot of people have been sending me emails and messages, and they've been asking for my thoughts on that. So let's start off there with the DeVante Parker, Chris Chambers saga. And I guess my take on it is this. It's a lot to do about nothing. And I think this has been way overblown and made much larger than it needed to be. First and foremost, you have a player currently on the roster in DeVante Parker, who he even said today when talking to the media that he has struggled his first 3 years in the NFL. He admits it. He knows it. As fans, we all know it. Anyone who has listened to this podcast for the past year and a half or so, whatever, knows I am no fan of DeVante Parker, but he knows that he is not where he needs to be as an NFL player. Now you have a former player in Chris Chambers who has his own side business working with professional athletes. He's a former Miami Dolphin, obviously. He wants to help the team. He wants to help a player. So he reaches out to DeVante Parker, and he offers his services to him. So DeVante Parker pretty much says no, or he gives no answer at all. And I don't blame Parker for that. Parker is on the Miami Dolphins right now. He has to listen to the people in-house. He has to work with the trainers in-house. He has to work with the coaching staff in-house. It's nice that Chambers offered his services. Obviously, he wants to promote his business in the process and make a few bucks. So, I mean, that is understandable as well from his side. But he's offering his services to a current member on the team he once played for. I don't think there is any, you know, intent to make this anything. I mean, he's trying to help. At the end of the day, he's trying to help. So I get that as well. But Parker said no. And I think Chris Chambers sort of has to accept that, and which he has, obviously, now, as I record this on Wednesday, and just sort of move on and not make it a big thing. And then, of course, Chambers then ranks hit the top five Miami Dolphins wide receivers in the order he thinks from best to, you know, not the best, I guess you could say. I don't want to say worst. And Parker's not at the top. Parker, you know, he takes offense to that. That's where he's wrong in this. That's where he's wrong. I'm pretty much on the side of DeVante Parker in this little mini feud, if you want to call it that. I don't even know if it's worth calling it that. But I'm on his side. But where he's wrong is he should have never responded to anything on Twitter. It's never good. That's never good for a player to get into a petty little argument like this one is on Twitter. Once he responded, he sort of blew this up into more than it needed to be. But I think each side here, is, if there's one phrase to sort of describe it, is they're both overly sensitive people. Because one side, he offered to help. The other side said no. And it just should have ended right there. Instead, we got 3 or 4 days of nonsense out of this. And I think it was much to do about nothing. And I don't really fault either side here. It's just that I don't know. I think a lot was made out of this when it shouldn't have been. Now, Parker at the minicamp today, he spoke to the media after practice. He said a few interesting things. He said the only thing that can stop him is being healthy, which, look, we know when he's healthy, he's not a bad player. The problem is he's never healthy, which is the issue. So nobody doubts Parker has the physical ability to play in the NFL. He clearly does. He has the size, the speed, the reach, the hand size. He has it all. But it's just about staying healthy. Like I said, he has said his first 3 years in the NFL, the quote is, "not where I want to be," simple as that. Which, look, even the most diehard Miami Dolphins fan who doesn't want to say anything bad about anyone on the team, they would have to admit that. They would have to admit the first 3 years has been majorly disappointing. I've called him a total bust. You can say that's a little too harsh. I don't think so, but okay, you want to argue that point. Until he shows more, in my book, he's a bust. And he said, when he was asked about the Chamber saga by the media, he didn't really address it head-on, which is smart, which is very smart on his end. I'll give him total credit for that. He just said he said he has to ignore what anyone says outside of the building. And I'm not sure if it was today or yesterday, but offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins, when he spoke to the media, said, look, he's been here every day working hard, Parker. He has been at the facility every day. He's doing what he has to do this offseason. So it's not about lack of trying and lack of effort on his part, which is good to hear as a fan. You want to hear that he's out there trying. And he's motivated. He's working through whatever he's got to work through. He's trying to get healthy, trying to stay healthy on a consistent basis, whatever that entails, workout-wise, whatever that entails with his diet and such. So I'll give him credit. He's trying his best from the sounds of it. I'm still not sold on him being a big-time NFL wide receiver. Look, this is a make-or-break year for him. We all know it. It makes no sense to harp on it anymore at this point. He knows it. We know it as fans, and I'm sure everyone in the Miami Dolphins facility knows it as well. This is the year. He has to produce, or else, you know, he won't be here in 2019. The other thing he said, Parker, here in closing, was that his goal for this year is to receive for 1,000 yards and catch a few touchdowns. Hopefully it's more than a few, but I understand what he's saying. He wants to be a 1,000-yard receiver, and he wants to catch touchdowns. But so look, he's saying the right things from all the reports. He is working hard. He's trying hard. He's putting in the time, putting in the effort. And that stuff's all nice, well, and good and great to hear. But that ain't going to get him a free pass on any level. Come September, week one against the Titans, to the end of the season, it's all about what you do then. I mean, it's great that he's putting in the time and effort now, but honestly, don't really care. It's what you do on the field in the games that matter. And that's how he will be judged this year. So that's that. I know a lot of people have been asking me about that. And like I said, later on, when we have on OJ McDuffie, I talk about this with him as well. And he gives his thoughts on this as well. So stay tuned for that. In other news, today the Miami Dolphins signed three more of their draft picks. They signed linebacker Jerome Baker, tight end Durham Smythe, and running back Kalen Ballage. I don't have the financials on those. Once we get them, we will have them up on the site or on the next show. So right now, the only unsigned draft pick left is the second-round pick, Mike Gesicki. I would expect him to be signed in the next few days, if not by the weekend at the latest. Like I said on the last show, when it comes to signing the rookies, there's no negotiations really anymore. Everyone's sort of slotted in where they're slotted. It's just a matter of getting it done. There's not much back and forth. So he's the only one left unsigned, and that should be taken care of relatively quickly. So today was, today was the second day of the Miami Dolphins mandatory minicamp. And look, there's a ton of reports of what's taking place on the field from these practices. But at the end of the day, these are guys in shorts just running around. And I am not going to run through plays. This guy ran for this touchdown. That guy ran for that. This guy, he caught the ball here. This one's looking sharp thrown. I'm not, because it's all pointless. It's all meaningless. Like I said, you take any NFL caliber player, put him in shorts, toss on the helmet, and just tell him to go out there and run around and play. They all look great. And even if someone looks off or is not looking great, well, there's no hitting, so I don't even... So it's like, why judge these things? It's nice to see the guys out there and stuff and hear about practice and read about the reports, but you cannot read anything into this at all. And I refuse to go over any of that stuff because I just don't think it's important, and I think it's an utter waste of time. The one position, well, here's the caveat. The one position where you maybe can read a little something into it would probably be with the kickers. And so far from all reports, the seventh round pick, Jason Sanders, has looked, you know, good. He really hasn't missed much at all. I know, I think he went 7-for-7 yesterday, which, okay, I mean, once again, I'm not going to read too much into that, but his challenger was the undrafted kid, Greg Joseph, and he has struggled a lot so far this week especially, and he's missed a bunch of kicks. One would wonder, since he's missed so many kicks this week, if he will even be on the roster much longer, and if Miami might go out to look to bring in someone else to challenge Jason Sanders as we get closer to training camp. Who knows? Just something to keep an eye on. I know there's been a lot of reports regarding the quarterbacks and how they've looked, and I guess all the love right now is in the corner of David Fales to sort of be the clubhouse leader for the number two quarterback. Once again, not reading anything into it. Until these guys are in pads and until it's like real football on the practice field and even in the preseason for someone like Fales, who those games don't mean much, but for somebody like him, they actually do. I'm not going to get excited about that at all. So we'll see how he looks when we get to training camp. There's been a bunch of other news, so let's get through some of that before we get to O.J. McDuffie. Tony Lippett, he spoke to the media, and he said that the road back since his injury last year has been a tough grind. He said it's been tough, but he feels like he's close to 100%, and he said his injury, that the last thing to sort of come back, which he feels he's still missing, is sort of his long speed, those long strides heading downfield. So that's the last thing to come back. He has reached out to other people who have also had this injury that he knows, like Brent Grimes and some others who have also had injuries to their Achilles tendon. So he has talked to them about what it's like to come back from this injury. He's also spoken to Wake on Miami about that as well. So he feels like he's close, but he's not quite there yet. So there's that. Leonte Carew, he still held up. He should be back in time, they said, though, for training camp. But his knee, he had some minor surgery, and he's going to be out till at least the middle part of July, roughly, they said. But come training camp time, he should be ready to go. As I've said about him in the past, it's going to be a total uphill battle for him to make this roster. I just don't see it happening for Leonte Carew. Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post had a great article up where he talked about Cordrea Tankersley, and pretty much Tankersley said that the number two cornerback spot opposite Xavien Howard is his job to lose, and he's been told as much even by head coach Adam Gase. So Tankersley feels if he plays well in the spring and if he plays well in the summer that he will be the number two starting cornerback opposite Xavien Howard. He said he's just ready to go, work hard, and build off of last year. He's saying all the right things, and he thinks it's his job to lose, and he's been told all that by head coach Adam Gase. Head coach Adam Gase hasn't said so publicly, so maybe that was something that should not have been leaked out, but that's not something that's really major either. Talking about the secondary still, Minkah Fitzpatrick, when he spoke to the media this week, he was finally asked about the comments that sort of leaked out right after the draft that the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Mr. Ross, was sort of, he wasn't all sold on selecting Fitzpatrick at number 11, that he sort of wanted the option to slide down in a trade and all that stuff. And what did Fitzpatrick feel about that? Fitzpatrick, and I got to be honest, every time this kid talks in the press, I love him more and more because he... he gave a great answer. His answer was that it just gives him more. It just gives him more motivation to play better, and he uses that the comments from Ross as extra motivation to prove to him he was the right pick at number 11 in this year's draft. And then he was asked if he's ever met or spoken to Mr. Ross, and he said no, which I found kind of interesting, because usually with their first round pick, at some point right after the draft, they meet the owner. But according to Mika, he hasn't met the owner yet, so that's a little interesting to say the least. I'm not going to read anything into it by any means, but I found that a little interesting, because now we're what? In the first week of June, yeah, the draft was last week of April, so you're roughly 5 weeks after the draft or so. He's never met the owner, which is a little interesting. Charles Harris, he's working a lot with Robert Quinn to sort of improve his game and just improve as a player. So those two have sort of formed a bond. There was an article on that as well in one of the papers. I can't remember which one. Today, though, our friend Omar Kelly from the Sentinel, when someone asked him about how Charles Harris looked, he said, Charles Harris looks like the fifth best defensive lineman on the team, or the fifth best end on the team. So, I mean, once again, I'm not reading anything into these practices, and I don't know why people do. But Charles Harris is working hard. He's putting in the extra work. He's working a lot with new Miami Dolphins defensive end Robert Quinn. So hopefully, once again, Harris is sort of like Tankersley. You hope they build off how they played last year. As I said on the show earlier this week with regarding Charles Harris, when tied the story about how he gave all the money, or he gave $100,000 to his high school. Harris ended last year playing very, very well. It might not have shown up with sacks. I get that. I totally get it. He didn't have a lot of sacks. He had 2 sacks all year. One against the Titans and one against the Chiefs. So one was in October and one was week 16. Sacks weren't there. But Charles Harris, if you watch the game, he ended last year playing as well as anybody. Pressure consistently on the quarterback. So I thought Harris played great at the end of the year, and hopefully he will continue to improve. Obviously, he has great people to work with down there, and guys like Wake and now Robert Quinn. So hopefully he picks up some tips, some pointers, some things will rub off on him, because the one thing you can say about Charles Harris, and you can say this with the 100% certainty, he's someone who, quote-unquote, gets it. Hard worker, good guy off the field, you know, helping people in his community off the field, putting in the work, willing to learn. I remember last year this time he was working with Jason Taylor as well. Just someone who wants to soak it up and learn. So, I mean, Charles Harris, so easy to root for, and someone I am really rooting for this year to have a big year, and the sacks will come. I'm not worried about that with him. The sacks are going to come, and I think they will come this year in a big way. So there's that. The last thing I want to talk about before we get to O.J. McDuffie is Miami Dolphins special teams coach Darren Rizzi. When he spoke to the media today, he said 2 things that are very interesting. Number one, he said, and this one I will admit up front, I do not agree with. It's like you're playing with fire once again, and you haven't learned your lesson. And look, everyone loves Rizzi. I love Rizzi. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, special teams coach in the NFL. He's up there. He's so good. He's so, so good. But I think he's lost his mind in this one. He's saying that this year in 2018, the Miami Dolphins will play Raekwon McMillan on special teams. Now, look, didn't we learn anything from last year? And I know it's a fluke accident. It was a fluke injury. Injuries can happen at any time. And I get all that. But it's about minimizing the risk. And when you look at Miami's linebackers, you can make the case, and I don't even think it's close, that the Miami Dolphins linebacker unit is the worst unit on the roster today. Not the offensive line. It's not the wide receivers. It's not the running backs. It's damn sure not the secondary. It's not the pass rushers. Linebackers, now you could make a case it's the tight end spot. I wouldn't, but okay. But linebackers, to me, and I don't think it's close, is by far the worst unit on the Miami Dolphins roster in 2018. You got Kiko Alonso, who's not coming off a great year. Okay, he's just not. Let's just be honest. He's not coming off a great year. I'm not sitting here saying he's bad, that he's no good. I'm just saying he's not coming off a great year. And around him, you have nothing proven. You have guys like Stephon Anthony, who flamed out with the Saints and was just, you know, an average at best guy last year in Miami in the limited time he saw. You have a rookie in Jerome Baker. We hope he's good. We don't know. He could be a total bust too, but we hope he's good. We don't know. And of course, Raekwon McMillan. And behind those three or four, you got guys who we know aren't any good, like Mike Hall, Chase Allen, and those guys. So why would you risk one of the key guys in a key spot at linebacker on your roster on special teams? I just don't get it. And I probably never will. I know there's a thought process that all young guys have to play special teams. But it's like linebacker's so bad. And once he went down last year, after, you know, he was looking good in the OTAs and the mini camps in the first few weeks of the training camp, once we lost Raekwon, linebacker fell apart. It literally fell apart for the Miami Dolphins. And why would you risk that again? I don't get it. We can't find someone else on this roster to run down punts and kickoffs on special teams. I find it hard to believe. We need, let's be honest, 11 guys on the field on a punt or kickoff. One's the kicker, okay? And if it's a punt, then one's the snapper. We don't have 9 other guys to run down a punt on this team. We don't have 10 other guys to run down on a kickoff on this team. I don't get it. Why would you risk someone that important to that side of the football? We'll see. Hopefully lightning does not strike twice. And I know people can get hurt at any time, and it can be a non-contact injury sometimes. I get it. You can't say for sure he won't get hurt anyways, but it's about minimizing the risk. And why put yourself in that position? Raekwon's too important to that linebacker. If all the reports on him are true, that he just picks everything up, he's a leader, he's going to call the plays on that side of the ball, he's just a natural, everyone loves him, he's doing all the right things, why would you risk him on punts and kickoffs? Last year, I get it, he was a rookie. Nobody could have predicted that. And things happen, we get it. And look, even if you don't put him on that unit, he still might get hurt. I get it. But it's about minimizing the risk. So, Rizzy, as much as I love him, and as great as I think he is, I think he's dead wrong on this, as is the head coach, Adam Gase, because it's really his final call. He's the head coach. I think they're nuts. I really think they're nuts. Linebacker's so bad, why would you risk the guy you think is the future of that unit and someone who can be a star in this league on a punt and a kickoff after he got hurt last year in a preseason game on a kickoff? It makes no sense to me. We'll see how that plays out. Last thing was, Rizzy also said about the punt returner. That's sort of a fluid thing. Who's going to be the guy? He did say, though, that Amendola will be a situational punt returner and not a full-time punt returner. Now, Amendola last year with the Patriots was their full-time punt returner. Rizzy's saying he's going to return punts, just not all of them. He's just going to return them at certain times. Pretty much probably like how they use Landry a lot the past few years, as Landry really wasn't the primary punt returner, but he returned it. You know, if they were pinned back near their own end zone, they would put in him because they liked his hands more and he was smart and stuff. So Amendola might be used in that type of role, but he will not be the full-time punt returner. And who is? We don't know yet. I'm guessing it's going to be a mix between Jakeem Grant and Wilson and such, but we'll see who is the punt returner for the Miami Dolphins. You might even see Minka Fitzpatrick in that role some. Who knows? But it has been made clear that Amendola will not be the full-time punt returner, which is smart. Because, again, he's not – this is smart. This move's smart. Because he's not a young man, and he's getting up there in age. And you want to keep him healthy. You want to keep him on the field for offense. And you don't want to risk him taking unnecessary hits on special teams. So that I agree with, and that's a smart move by the Miami Dolphins. So we'll take a quick break, and after the break, we will be joined by former Miami Dolphins wide receiver, OJ McDuffie to talk all things Miami Dolphins football.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the hotline is former Miami Dolphins wide receiver OJ McDuffie. How are you doing today, OJ?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
I am doing great. So before we talk a little bit about the Miami Dolphins, you have a new podcast venture that is about to start. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what your show is and what it will be about?
Yeah, we're actually on Five Reasons Network. I was a good buddy of ours, Ethan Skolnick. A bunch of really good podcasts on there as well. And ours is the Fish Tank. And my buddy Seth Lever came to me with an idea of doing a thing called the Fish Tank. Our tagline is Dolphin Tales from the Deep. So it's a bunch of former players getting in the studio, you know, and giving us an interview on like stories, different stories that happened while they were playing for the Dolphins, while they're not playing for the Dolphins, that happened on the field, off the field, in the locker room, in their lives. They're just funny. Some are serious, but not an X and O's type of deal, man. And
some
of the stories we've heard so far, guys like Aronde Gaston and Channing Crowder and Zach Thomas, just been amazing stuff. I think, you know, guys in the locker rooms tend to tell some amazing stories and some of the funniest stuff you'll ever hear. And it's been so good just, you know, getting them in the studio and recording some of the stuff. And we can't wait to launch it sometime in July.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of great things to tell there from the locker room, as the NFL is filled with a lot of funny people and stuff. So I'm sure there's some crazy stories mixed in there. A lot of characters in the NFL, I'm sure. So I'm sure those stories will be great. Now let's talk about some things on the field with the Miami Dolphins. It's been a crazy offseason. Some guys are gone, obviously. Now we got a whole bunch of new faces in. Let's talk about the wide receiver position. That's one area you know very, very well. Obviously, Landry's gone, and they brought in a few guys here to replace him. First, let's start off with Albert Wilson. What are your thoughts on him as a player and how he will fit into the fold with Miami?
Well, I think Albert Wilson's a great pickup for us. You know, I think Adam Gase, I think himself, said he handpicked this kid because he's talented. Inside, outside guy, fast guy, hard worker, you know, a good guy in the locker room. And I think that would be the common theme with most of the guys that, you know, that are in there now, is the way they are in the locker room. From what I understand, was a lot of malcontents in the locker room, a couple of little bad apples in the locker room originally, some guys that weren't buying in. I think he's got a locker room full of guys that are buy-in type of guys. And I believe that Albert's one of those guys, just from Adam Gase and some of the other guys I've talked to. Danny Amendola, same thing. Kenny Steeles was, you know, seemed like he was heading in the wrong path at the beginning of his time down here, but he's on the perfect path right now and doing all things the right way. But Albert Wilson's going to be a heck of an addition. Like I said, a guy that can play inside, play outside, and, you know, and his work ethic is second to none.
Absolutely. And we had him on the show last week, and he was just so nice, and he's so humble. And if you look at how he made it to the NFL, he's one of those guys who's had to work for everything. And I think that's the type of guy that the head coach is looking for, Adam Gase. Someone who will put in the time, who's had to work his whole life just to get where he's at. And I think he's going to be a great fit in Miami. The other wide receiver they brought in from New England, of course, is Amendola. What are your thoughts on him as a player?
Well, you know what? I always like to bring a winning culture in, a guy that's been there and done that, you know, still works hard, because that can become contagious. You know, he's had so much success in New England with those guys that, you know, it'd be good for him to be around guys that haven't tasted anything close to that. And so hopefully it rubs off. And not only that, but I heard also, once again, his work ethic is unbelievable.
Yep.
And so you got a guy out there that's been around, that's had success, and, you know, won championships, you know, and they still go out there and work as hard as they do. Other guys say, wow, that's how you got to do it. That's how you get it done. And so I know that Danny is going to be a tremendous impact in that locker room for the organization, but I know he's going to go out there and work hard on the field and make plays for us. That's what he does, especially in big-time games.
Absolutely. And the other wide receiver who's been in the news pretty much all week this week is DeVante Parker, and he's entering year four. And he even said today when he spoke to the media that the first 3 years hasn't been what he's wanted. What do you think is holding him back? Is it just the injuries that have sort of slowed him down, held him up? Is there more to it than that, maybe? Or, I mean, it seems like he has everything you want in a wide receiver, the size, the speed, long arms, huge hands. I mean, he's got it all, but it hasn't clicked. What are your thoughts on Parker? And just as him as a player, what's holding him back, you think?
Well, you know what? I understand his frustration. I really do. I understand anytime a player is hurt often, yep. You know, you don't really feel a part of the team a lot of times. So it can affect your mental psyche. And I think that, you know, a lot of that is up in his head, you know, about the acceptance. You know, players, coaches, they kind of ignore players that aren't on the field. They become kind of like an outcast. And I know DeVante, I remember his rookie year when I was out of training camp, and he was hurt. And I saw him off to the side all by himself. And I'm like, that's the worst place for a young first-round pick to be.
Absolutely.
By himself, because you feel like you're lost and not a part of a team yet. And I think that's what's happened to him, you know, at the beginning. So he's already felt that way. And then what you do in that situation is you count on your buddies that, you know, you grew up with. You know, those are your guys. Those are your buddies. And you really need your locker room. Everybody needs a locker room. And a good locker room, a close-knit locker room, those guys go out there and they fight hard for each other. It's not a bad thing to have your buddies around off the field, but you need your teammates around you too. So I think it all started with him being hurt early. And now the fact that, you know, he's been banged up a little bit more, he hasn't really gotten his feet under him yet, literally, you know, for, you know, be able to go out there and make an impact on this football team. But I think, you know, as long as he's got his head right, he's hanging around the right guys, and like I talk about those other guys in that locker room, if he clings on to those guys, he's going to be fine. You know, you already said, Mike, the talent's there. All the talent's there. When we make the play, it's a big play, you know, and we need that more often. We need it, you know, early and often in the season. So I think the Dolphins see that as well. They would never pick up a fifth-year option the way they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, everybody would hate for him to leave here and become great like a lot of guys do.
You know? It happens but often.
That was another reason to pick it up, right?
You want to make it work if it can work. You want to try everything to make it work.
That's right. So you don't just let talent like that walk out the door, man. And I think that Adam Gase, the guy that is so prideful and, you know what, and so confident in his ability to get guys going, that he's going to give DeVante some more opportunities. And I think it's going to work out fine for him. Like I said, there's some guys in that locker room that might not have, you know, bought in on something like that. But I think DeVante's on the right path. I wish, you know, I know the beef has been with that. I wouldn't even call it beef. I've talked to Chris Chambers since then. But just the whole situation with Chris, you know, Chris is all about trying to make the Miami Dolphins better. And if he can help DeVante out any way possible, that's you know, that's what he would love to do. And I understand DeVante feeling like he was a little bit attacked, you know, in his response. But that's one thing that could help him too. You know, grow up a little bit professionally in that situation. He doesn't have to respond to that. This would have been over with already. You know, and it wasn't even anything. It wasn't even an attack by Chris. He was just offering a, you know,
he's just trying to help.
Him out.
Yeah, he's just trying
that's
to help.
That's it, man. And I hope that's over and behind us. And I hope those two, you know, Chris told me that he reached out to him via text. Hasn't gotten a call back yet, but it's okay. You know, we're all in the same family here. We're all striving for the same thing as alumni. And I hope they're striving for the same thing on the field. We just want our team to win. And any way we can help, we'll help. So I think it's going to be the year for DeVante, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. You know, with all the criticism, you know, a lot of players respond positively when they get a lot of criticism, and I hope that's the case for DeVante.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think that was really blown up way out of proportion because he's trying to help.
Absolutely.
And I understand it from he's on the roster now, Parker, so he has to listen to the people in-house, but it just seemed like that was just – blown up into something way more than what it needed to be. And I didn't quite understand it really, but looking at this wide receiver class overall on Miami. Now last year's group was pretty good with Landry in the fold. You can make a case with him gone and with the new additions on top of everyone who is there, like Grant, like Parker, like Kenny Stills. This is a very deep wide receiver group on paper compared to last year's. Is this year maybe possibly slightly better, in your opinion, just as a group overall?
This group is definitely better, and this group got faster.
Yes.
You know, and that's one thing for sure. You know, I think they're going to find a lot of different ways to get Jakeem Grant, get him going. And we already talked about Albert Wilson and his speed and ability.
Stills.
Yep. You know, Kenny can fly. You know, Kenny Stills can fly. Devontae can fly. You know, from what I heard from Devontae today is that, you know, he and Jakeem are the fastest two dudes on the team. And that's impressive because
yep.
You know, DBs, there's a lot of DBs that can usually run. But to have the two fastest guys on your team on that wide receiver core, you know, that's exactly what Coach Adam Gase has been waiting on. You know, so I think that's going to be, you know, big time for us. We're going to be the fastest we've been. We'll probably be the toughest we've been. And Jakeem Grant getting more opportunities, that's going to be exciting for us. So we definitely got better. We got better bringing Danny and Amendola in. So I know we lose a guy that, you know, got a lot of receptions. Obviously, trust me, I watched him because he broke a lot of my records. So I know that Duke did a great job for us. Yeah, he did. But we got guys now, I think, that are a little bit more dynamic in terms of the ability to score with it anytime they touch.
Yeah, absolutely. And one guy we sort of haven't mentioned because he is a rookie from your old school, Penn State, is the big new tight end, Mike Gesicki. Now, you're a Penn State guy. I'm sure you saw him play a lot of times. What are your thoughts on him as a player, and what is Miami getting with the big tight end out of Penn State, Mike Gesicki?
Well, I love Mike, obviously, for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, Mike's early years at Penn State, you know, a little rough. You know, you had a tall guy jumping up to catch balls and, you know, receiving them around his hip or, you know, sometimes not challenging balls at the high point, you know, in traffic. That all changed his last couple of years, man. Mike's always open because of his athleticism, his ability to go up and high point a ball, his height. Yeah, he's got a 40-something inch vertical, and he's tough as nails. He really is, man. So, and he can run. You know, he's a long, lanky guy, so it takes a little time to get going. But once he gets going, he can go, man. So I think that, and just imagine, you know, he's going to maintain this height. He's going to maintain speed. He's going to be even bigger in terms of NFL terms. I think we got the next great tight end in the NFL on our team. Because the way the game has gone with the receiving tight ends that, you know, don't necessarily have to block all the time or get in somebody's way, but that are always open because of their height. He's going to be fun to watch, and Tannehill's going to love him. He's going to be a huge target, not just a big target. He's a huge target in the red zone and midfield and anywhere on the field for the Dolphins.
Yep, absolutely. And on the show, we had Randy McMichael right after the draft, and he said, I don't care if he can block because he's going to catch everything that's thrown to him.
Right.
He's big. He goes, who cares if he can block? The game has changed so much. For the tight ends, you don't need that as much as you once did in the past. So he goes, I don't care
you
if
sure
you can block, this
man.
Kid's a real deal. And he loved him, Randy.
Yeah, and I tell you, and the thing about blocking it, here's what's going to happen. Like, you know, you put Mike in the game, they're going to keep a linebacker or a safety down there to guard him. You know, then you're going to try to run the ball, and then Mike will be able to handle that block.
Yeah.
You know? Now, you put a linebacker out there, we'll check, we'll run a pass play and see if that linebacker can guard Mike. You know, so it's a no-win situation for
exactly.
anybody trying to defend him. So, yeah, so, and Adam is that smart. They'll find that mismatch. And then they'll attack it. So put a linebacker out there. We won't run it. He doesn't have to block. We'll run a pass pattern so you can cover him. Now put a DB or, you know, or a safety out there. Then we can run right at it because Mike will cover him up. So we got it. I really don't care about his ability or inability to block at all, like Randy
exactly.
said.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what are your thoughts on the 2018 class overall from the draft? Obviously, Fitzpatrick in round one, Gesicki, Jerome Baker and those guys. How did you like the draft overall?
I loved it. I really did. I love Fitzpatrick being there for us at 11. That's a great pickup. You know, whenever Nick Saban says positive things about anybody, you really got to step out the opportunity to get him on your football team. Because that doesn't.
True.
Yeah, those don't come easily.
You don't
those
pass compliments that often. No.
No. Not at all, man. So that was a great pickup that he was sitting there. For us in that position, and of course getting Mike, you know, I love picking up Mike Gesicki right there in that situation. I think Bake is going to be really good, man. He was talking a little smack, a little Ohio State smack, you know, and with him and Raekwon. We didn't talk about Raekwon being back. That is huge for us. You know,
he's almost like a rookie too.
Nobody really talking
yeah.
about. Yeah, exactly right. So
it's
like
part of
the same
class,
situation
man.
For those guys. Yep, and I'm going to love. I love. Balazs, that he's going to be real nice for us. You know, we got some guys, man, this year that are going to be impact players right away as rookies. And I think that we're going to love what they do on and off the field. And I think they did a great job of picking up some quality guys that are hard workers that can make plays. And that linebacker corps just got faster too. You know, speaking of that, you know, we just got more athletic, faster, and I think Raekwon being back is going to be a thumper in the middle, and Bakes going to get his opportunities. He's going to get his opportunities early in this team.
Absolutely, because heading in to that draft, I thought tight end and linebacker were a mess on this roster. I mean, it was bad, but I think they fixed them both pretty good, really quick. Actually, I think they fixed each spot really good.
We got big, and we got big Smythe too. I forgot about him.
My first name. Exactly.
Yeah, so we want a blocker. We got a blocker.
We got the blocker.
Everybody run these two tight end sets, man. We'll run right at that. This should be a great situation for us.
I think on offense, there's going to be a lot of matchups there with these guys who are going to fit certain roles who will be great on offense. Last question for you is about the spot of quarterback. And not so much who's the number one guy there, because we all know that's Ryan. He ain't going nowhere. He's a starter as long as he's healthy. But what we saw last year was when he went down, Miami really didn't have anybody behind him ready to go. And I would think this offseason, maybe they would have learned a little bit from that and maybe find someone to hold down that spot. But they brought in guys like, they obviously had Bales. They have now Osweiler, and they brought in the kid from the Jets, Bryce Petty. Are you surprised they didn't do more to have a more solid number two quarterback in case, God forbid, something happens again to Ryan Tannehill?
Right. Well, you know what? I think they have a lot more confidence in who's behind them now. I really do. I think Fales with another year in the system is going to, you know, be a quality backup if he was called on. I know, you know, Brock Osweiler's worked with Coach Adam Gase before, and so he feels confident in him and knowing the system. And, you know, a lot of times, it's, you know, it's just getting the ball to the guys, let the guys do the work. You know, I think one of the bigger pickups is bringing in guys like Frank Gore to back up, you know, Kenyon Drake. I thought Drake had an outstanding end of the season, and I think he can be, second down guy maybe, or, you know, and then get Frank Gore to spell him. Of course, we talked about Balazs. I think no matter what, they've got enough talent elsewhere to make up for what we didn't have at the quarterback position last year. But I think Kenny's going to be great.
I'm excited about Tanny.
Last year was going to be a great year for Tanny. And I tell you this, I was one of those guys that said I never thought I'd miss Tannehill so much. I missed Tannehill a lot last year.
You're not alone. You know, I think a lot of people thought that way. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought after that first year under Gase, that second year was going to be huge for Tannehill. And for him to be hurt, you know, that set us back again. But I think this year he's looking great again. I think it's going to be another real big opportunity for him. And he's going to be rock solid with these weapons. And with his attitude, his work ethic, and another year under Gase, I'm excited about it.
I'm excited too, and I also like that they set the offensive line now in May, and there's not going to be guys all spring and summer sliding around from guard to tackle. They sort of set the offensive line really early and let those guys just work together from now all summer. I think that'll also help him stay on his feet and stay healthy, because he hasn't had much in front of him the past however many years, and I think having that offensive line set, sort of, now in May, and let those guys work together to each know their role, I think that was a big deal, too.
Yeah, I think that's always a great move with the offensive line. You can do, you know, musical chairs, a lot of other positions, but the offensive line is one where you need to establish who's here, who's there, because they have to work together. I mean, they have to work together. I don't care how good one is, you know, or another one is, they have to work in sync. And it starts right now. It's like a choreography. You know, if you got one dancer going left, the other one going right, you know, I don't care how good the other ones do, it's going to be a disaster. You know, so I think it is good to get to know each other better and work with each other like that from the beginning now. And then when it comes fall and time for that first kickoff, they'll be ready to go. But you also got to have guys that can fill in the spots. You know, get some first team work, but let us know right now who the guys are. Don't have a guy going first team this day, first team the next day, flipping it like that. Let a guy come in and spell some guys, but have your front five, you know, solidified and you know, and named right now, going to help the team out a lot. It really
is. Absolutely. So thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight, OJ. And everyone, check out his new podcast on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. And they are on Twitter at the FishTank81. Everyone, check that out. And so some of the next shows will be dropping in July, correct?
That's correct. That's correct, Mike. We'll come out in July.
So everyone check that out coming in a few weeks there. And thanks so much for a few moments of your time, OJ. And I'm sure we'll have you on again down the road.
I hope so, brother. Thanks for the time, buddy. I'll talk to you
soon.
No problem.
You have a good one.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Once again, I would like to thank OJ McDuffie for giving us a few moments of his time tonight here on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. We always love having OJ on talking Miami Dolphins football with him. We've had him on in the past. He's one of our regular guests, and we will have him on again down the road for sure. And for those of you who missed my interview with Sirius XM NFL Radio's Ross Tucker from Monday, check that out. That was a great interview with Ross. We love all the guys over at Sirius XM NFL Radio. We have a great relationship with them here at DolphinsTalk.com. We love having those guys on to talk football. And Ross gave a lot of great insight on the Dolphins. So for those of you who missed that, be sure to go to our archives and check out Monday's show with my interview with Ross Tucker from Sirius XM NFL Radio. That was a very good spot, so I wanted to make sure everyone heard that. Also, check out our website, DolphinsTalk.com, as we have a bunch of new articles and content up on the website, so check that out. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, at DolphinsTalk. And also, if you want to send me an email, so you can send me an email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. One day I will do a mailbag show and go through, because I get so many emails. I try to read them all and I try to respond to them all. I try my best. But I have been getting so many emails of late. One day I should do an email show, or I guess you would call it like a mailbag show, and just sort of respond to a bunch of these emails on air, because there's a lot of good topics and questions that are being asked of me about the team and our site, really. And I should probably just spend a half hour or so and just answer a bunch of those emails. So maybe we'll do that as well. If you're listening to this podcast, wherever you listen, SoundCloud, iTunes, Podbean, we are on all the platforms. So be sure to subscribe to us and leave us a comment and subscribe to the podcast. So as soon as a new show drops, it will go right to your smart device, smartphone, or however you listen. So do that as well. Also, be sure to support and check out the websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com, as well as the Facebook pages Fanatics, the Miami Dolphins End Zone, and Dolphinatics. So check all them out as well. Probably have a new show this weekend. I'm working on another guest to have on the show. Don't know if I'll be able to line up for the weekend, but we will have another show out, you know, in the next few days. Not sure when. Like I always say, this time of the year, first part of June, it's really, really slow, and there's not a lot to talk about. I try to line up the best guests for you guys, and we do a pretty good job of that, I can say. I think we do a very good job with that. So I am working on some more guests, but I really haven't finalized anything or set up a time and day to record with them. As soon as we get one, though, we will record and drop a show. But I should have a show out later this week talking about some things Miami Dolphins, as the first week of minicamp is sort of winding up here these last couple days of the week. So everyone, have a great day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.